should can be specific. You know what I mean, honourable members, that automatically we would think that the minister would come with the department, the political head, and we had struggled immensely in that regard. So hence we sent an invitation to the minister to account on specific matters. We welcome you, Minister Julian, hoping that we will work immediately and decisive action would be the order of the day. There are traces of that in this few months. You've been appointed, and I must say, somehow we are impressed. We are hoping that henceforth you are welcome to our portfolio committee today. Thank you very much. Honourable members, I'm sure you do have the agenda of the portfolio committee before you. And the agenda item is you would have received all the documentation for your this meeting. We're hoping that the presentation of the department has not changed in these 24 hours. Before we get here, it's still the same. But we're going to allow the minister to take us through the developments on South African tourism, which we've learned about on media. And after that, we'll receive the annual performance plan from the Department of Tourism, and Minister, you can meet that. Perhaps also introduce your new team, because we know these are the ones from the Department. So your new team, we will be delighted to know them, so that moving forward, at least we attach a face to a name. Because not all of us have met your chief. So without wasting time, I will hand over to you, Minister. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Good morning, morning to all the Honourable Members, and thank you for the warm welcome. I will make the commitment, Honourable Chairperson, that we will prioritise the work of the Portfolio Committee. We do understand your oversight role over the department, and please do not hesitate to contact us if there is any need for any information. Yes, you are right, Honourable Chairperson. I've been trying to read as fast as I can. I've been consulting with all the key stakeholders in the industry. Late on Thursday afternoon, I had a meeting with Sasuke, that's representing townships and villages, tourism, and very pleased to see the progress that they are making. So thank you for the warm welcome. I'll start with the introductions. Honourable Chairperson, I'm joined by our Director General, Mr. Victor Tarouch. He has been very, very helpful in helping me to settle in. And then I'm joined by four of our Deputy Director Generals today, and also our acting CFO. So for our EDG, Tourism, Research, Policy, International Relations, Ms. Anami Milan. And then DGG Corporate Services, Ms. Mbwena. DGG Destination Marketing, Shamila Chita. And stages, you don't see the post synthesis, Mr. Duabe. And then we have got the acting CFO. I think our CFO is off for a few days. So Mr. Maharaj is acting. And then we've got the director for strategic management and monitoring and reporting, Mr. Abutabi. From the support staff side, Honorable Chair, I brought Ms. Leanne Janssen. She is a parliamentary liaison officer in the Minister's office. Then we've got the head of office of the Deputy Minister, Ms. Priti Gumbani Maluleka. Then we also brought our communication officer, Dumisani Mangeni, director of the Office of the Director General, Mr. Thabo Makubiru, and then the PLO for the Parliamentary Relations Officer for the DG, Ms. Petra Panikat, and then communications and the Department of Tourism, Ms. Natasha Rockman. So that is the list. I've also prepared for the portfolio committee with all the photos so that I can put some names, some faces, some names to the faces. Chairperson, through you, if I can go into the presentation around the board. And I also want to thank the chairperson for the briefing that I received from the chairperson a few days after I arrived in the post in this department. I'll go straight into the presentation. Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, I was appointed on the 6th of March 2023, and upon taking office, I immediately set out to consult and have engagements with many, many industry players to get to understand the status of the South African tourism sector. And that includes a number of meetings with that our entity, South African Tourism. Then I've also looked at the report that I received from the Portfolio Committee dated 26 February 2023, submitted to Parliament on the ATC, and the concerns that is raised there. Honourable Chair and Members, because of the urgency of this matter, I also sought the opinion of Senior Counsel, approached the Office of the State Attorney, and the Office of the State Attorney appointed Senior Counsel to guide on the legality of the decisions taken by the Board regarding the Tottenham Hotspur Football Club proposed sponsorship. Part of the brief was also to look at the apparent improper composition of the board. Then on the 22nd of March, I wrote to the chairperson of the South African Tourism Board, referring the chairperson to a resolution of the board taken on the 31st of January 2023 to enter into a partnership deal with Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. I informed the chairperson that I would send legal advice to senior counsel to the effect that the deal is unlawful and invalid because of the following reasons. One, it is a procurement event which does not comply with Section 217 of the Constitution. Also, the Treasury, National Treasury Instruction Number 3, 21 and 22, issued in terms of the PMFA, and also the South African Tourism own supply chain management policy. The second reason was that the deal amounts to a sole source procurement for which the requirements have not been met, or it amounts to a significant partnership, a similar arrangement with, or similar arrangement with Tottenham, or it is the commencement of a significant business activity, a transaction for which the prior approval of the minister is required in terms of Section 54(2) of the PMFA. The third reason is that there is considerable doubt whether Tottenham deal was budgeted for. This was also raised by the portfolio committee, as envisaged in Section 53 of the PMFA. And I then ask the question, if it's not been budgeted for, the expenditure of the deal would be irregular or unauthorized within the meaning of the terms of the PMFA. I further also requested the chairperson to confirm if the deal had been formally cancelled, whether the board regards the deal to be a form of sole source procurement, or a significant transaction, and if the Tottenham deal has been budgeted for in terms of the 22-23 budget. And then if not, the board was requested to explain why the expenditure of the deal was not unauthorized or irregular within the meaning of the PMFA. Jefferson, I then gave the board until the 29th of March to respond. And I have attached the letter as an annex to the presentation. Prior to my media briefing held on the 24th of March, the chairperson wrote a preliminary response on the matter, stating that no deal has been signed and that it was merely a proposal. Also, I then advised the board to consider rather to stop what they are doing and to scrap the proposed deal, taking in consideration the tough economic climate we find ourselves in. The chairperson then responded on the 29th of March that the board will no longer proceed with the transaction, nor will it seek commitment requisites approval for the transaction, and I've also attached the letter for the benefit of the committee. And then on the 30th of March, I issued a statement that the proposed deal has been stopped. I separate the Tottenham deal from the actual concerns around the board to first deal with the deal, and then on the 6th of April, I again wrote to the chairperson requesting reasons why I should not dissolve the board in terms of Section 16(3) of the Tourism Act of 2014. And in the letter, I made reference to the conduct of the board in the Tottenham Hotspur Football Club transaction. And I also make a reference to the composition of the board in terms of Section 13 of the Tourism Act. I further also reference the content of a letter that I received on the 16th of March 2023 from the acting CEO of SA Tourism, Mr. Kumalo, wherein the acting CEO makes a serious allegations against the board and some of its members, and consequently he then requested me to dissolve the board. I've also attached the letter for the information of the committee. And then I gave the board until the 18th of April to respond. Until the 18th of April, and even after that, I have received no correspondence from the board as to why I should not dissolve the board. In to correct, and also to be functional. And then in, on Friday the 21st of April, in terms of Section 3, 16(3) of the Tourism Act, and by way of a government gazette, I formally dissolved the board. At the same time, I appointed three people to oversee the board until such time that the full board is appointed. And the three interim members are Ms. Koleka Zama, Ms. Tim Harris, Mr. Velabansi Mutambo. So the appointment gives the interim board the full powers conferred by the Tourism Act, which is also implicit in Section 16(3)(b) of the Act, which provides that the appointees may manage the affairs of the board. On the Friday the 21st, and Sunday the 23rd of April, we then put an advertisement in the newspapers, and that advertisement will run from the 23rd of April to the 6th of June 2023. So that is where we are currently on the chairperson, honourable members, with the board. Subsequently to that, I had interaction with the acting CEO that is currently in New York. I also had a courtesy, an introductory meeting with the interim board, and that meeting will be followed up by another meeting, which together with the DG, we met with them, we gave them some of the background, and we allowed some time for them to settle in and familiarize themselves with the substance or the content of SFG. So I do expect that sometime this week, short week, we will be able, together with the Director General, to have a follow-up meeting with the interim board. But as you can see, honourable members, we are following due process, because we have to advertise for 30 days. We will make sure that we get the new board as soon as possible. The entity is a very important entity. The entity received, as members may know, the entity received about 60% of the budget of the Department of Tourism. So a lot of our role and function in terms of our constitutional mandate has been assigned to South African Tourism. I have also discussed with the DG that we review the service level agreement with the entity, so that in the new service level agreement, when we transfer the money to the sources to SA Tourism, that it will be on a quarterly basis against key deliverables. So we have to make sure that we improve the relationship with SA Tourism, but as the department, that we also improve our oversight role and work closely with SA Tourism, because they are an important entity that, like I was saying, is responsible for many of the functions within the department. So that is where we are now, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. I could just briefly go to section 16.3 of the Act, in terms of which I have acted to dissolve the board, is that the minister may on good cause shown, dissolve the board by way of a notice in the Gazette and appoint a new board in accordance with section 13. That is the process that we are following now by advertising the for nominations to the board for the next month. Now, if the board is dissolved, in terms of paragraph A, the minister may defer the reconstitution of the board in the notice by which the minister has dissolved the board, or by any subsequent notice in the Gazette, appoint one or more persons on such conditions as the minister may be necessary to manage the affairs of the board until the appointment of the new board. So we opted in the government, the Gazette, to avoid a vacuum, that while we gazetted the dissolution of the board, in the same Gazette, we appointed three interim board members to manage the affairs of the board so that we don't have a vacuum and the entity is not able to function. Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members.
Thank you very much, Minister, for your presentation. I'm now going to allow honourable members to have a bite on the presentation, but also I think I must raise that if you are saying the advert is out on the 23rd of April to the 6th of June, that means you are in actual fact in contravention with the Act. Because the Act says that you advertise not more than 30 days. You put the advert there not more than 30 days, and my calculation says that the advert now is going to be out for 1 month and 13 days. So perhaps you will not need to look at that because we cannot be in contravention with the Act that guides us to implement this process. And we welcome the processes that you undertook in terms of the dissolution of the board. We also welcome the fact that you have dissolved that board, because that board said nothing. It had no effect. And also never assisted the entity to grow. Instead, they had more than required meetings. As per the Act, in 3 months, they had more than 30 meetings. And we can cite many things. I think also, Minister, you need to clarify us on the names that you have translated, because you have two gazettes that you have signed with different chairpersons, and that confusion is out there in public, that on arrival you are creating a confusion to society already. So I think that's one of the reasons why we thought it's important that we ensure that we have you in this meeting and be able to give clarity on such matters. I'm going to allow you, honourable members, to deliberate on the presentation on the board of SAT as presented by the Minister, so that then we move to the presentation by the department. Can I note him? Right down hand. Honorable Matumba, you are one. Number two, Honorable Ismail. Number three, Honorable Mbushe. Number four, Honorable Beaufretis. In that order.
Thank you, Chair. I will start with Section 16. Is it up? Okay. I'll start with Section 16, Subsection 3, Paragraph B. On this, where are we getting the name interim? How do we then classify the interim board? Because the entire act doesn't have something called interim board. It's telling us that you appoint one or more persons, and on such conditions as the minister may deem necessary. So there are those conditions that you may deem necessary to manage the affairs of the board until the appointment of the new board. So I would want to know then what are these conditions, because I don't understand how the interim board can have full powers of the board as conferred by the Tourism Act, which clause give the interim full powers. That say we are giving them full powers, because here it is saying on such conditions as the minister may deem necessary. Now, Chair, in the Gazette, you gave a different name for the chairperson. You gazetted Mr. Zwelibanzi as the chairperson. But when you wrote a letter by email to the introduction of interim board members to the South African Tourism Executive Management, you said now Mr. Tim Harris is now the chairperson, but he was not gazetted as the chairperson. The chairperson was another one. What then informed that? And the other thing is, I'm worried, Chair. You have two members of the board coming from coming from Westcroft, and the other thing is Tim Harris. He served under you in Cape Town. It's like you are bringing a friend, and on top of that, he's a politician and highly invested in SAT. To give you an example. Last year, he wrote an email to FAT, even junior staff members, asking for funds to fund World Surfing League for a certain individual called Graham Stapelbeck. So it's someone who's already involved there in SAT, and it will be conflict of interest if he is to serve there. I mean, something should have told you that, Minister, that this guy is highly involved. And the other thing is, how does it inform to get people who serve in one organization to come and serve in this board, Minister. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Good morning to everybody. I just have a few clarification questions. My first question, with regard to the three members you appointed in the spirit of time to manage the board, on what basis did you appoint them? I would also like to know the conditions of this appointment with full powers, and on what criteria did you appoint them? I mean, did you look at qualifications? What are the specifics that you looked at in order to appoint these particular three individuals? My second question, please can committee be advised What were the serious allegations referred to by the CEO at the time? And I think my third question is covered by the chair with regards to the 30 days, and you know, is it not a contravention because it's actually over 30 days? Thank you, Chair.
Presentation also, Chairperson, of our
question, Chairperson, it relates to the Act stating clearly that on the appointment, the minister should ensure that there's a broad geographical space on the people that are appointed chairperson. I have a question as to what led to the minister concentrating on Western Cape and NGP and not trying to strike a balance as the Act considers chairperson. The presentation chairperson on slide 6. The appointment gives the interim board the full power to confer the controlling act on the board, which is implicit in section 16(3)(b), which provides that the appointees may manage the affairs of the board until the appointment of the new board. I so wish that one continues to the latter chair. Chairperson, what will the department be doing differently to provide effective oversight over the taking, given that in terms of the Act, the person that must be appointed by given that the person who was appointed by the previous minister to represent the department the Act section 13(1)(b) was not effectively performing his or her duties. Also, Chairperson, would the DG have a role to play in monitoring and overseeing the funds transferred to SAT? I'm raising this, Chairperson, based on the experience that we had, Chairperson. I have a comment here, Chairperson, but I think I will have to, okay. We need to review the Act, Chairperson. It needs to be explicit in terms of on the board fund operation, such that it does not become easy for this fund to be misused. We had a CEO, Honorable Minister, that was appointed merely to ensure that the Tottenham proposal and also become a success and also ensure that it is in line with the law. Also on the convening of meetings to approve budgets for programs, Chairperson, without any paper or report or plan, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I won't speak questions that have been asked already. Just the first is, I'm presuming, Minister, thank you for your presentation, by the way, and speaking as a opposition member of this committee, I have no hesitation to say I think you're doing the right things. You've made some decisive decisions, Minister, and trying to put SAT in its correct path, so thank you for that. Just a question on the interim board. I'm presuming the interim board's tenure will end when the new board gets appointed, just to confirm that. And then I read the letter from Mr. Kamaru, which I had to read it twice because I couldn't believe what I was reading. First of all, I think it was the way it was written and the tone was inappropriate. The information may be correct, but indeed, if the information is all correct, and I've no reason to doubt him, why were these issues not presented previously? And if they were, before your tenure, do you know if they were presented previously and why was nothing done in advance before that? But I must say, I don't think it's appropriate for an official to politicize himself in the way that he did in that letter. So I don't expect you to answer that. You're not the author of that letter. I just want to express that I'm concerned about the way it was written, and also how is it that if these things were in fact happening, according to Kumali, he was saying that the board is dysfunctional, that they weren't working well, the officials and the board and so forth. I mean, these are very, very serious allegations. How is it that your predecessor or anybody else were not aware of it? And if they were, how come nothing was said about it? Then I wanted to inquire, because you certainly seem to be doing the things that we had suggested, and Chair, through you, we had agreed a few weeks back to undertake an inquiry. But it appears the Minister seems to be doing a lot of that, what inquiry would require. But what I am asking is, how is it, and I'm presuming Minister DeLille is investigating, how is it that this Tottenham deal got to the stage that it got to? That's what the committee has been asking in previous meetings. How did it get to such an advanced stage? How did it get to a stage where people travelled overseas? Because that it's not about just this matter, but it's about having open, unfettered carte blanche without oversight on matters in general. So the Minister may not have the answer, and I'm questioning this if she doesn't, I presume she'll investigate as to how it got to that point. And then my last point is, there seemed to be a lot of confusion, because I've spoken to many people on all sides of the fence about this whole debacle about the proposal to amalgamate Rand, South Africa and SAT. And it just doesn't smell right, because when you talk to all sorts of sides, I suspect there may be a political tussle between the presidency and tourism. That may well be the case, but is this being pursued, or is it an idea that's now being dropped and so forth? Thanks very much, Chair. Your indulgence.
Thank you very much, honourable members. Minister, I think also you raised the issue of the renewal of the service level agreement, and you said the department must do that. Now, I am not sure if the department is fit to do that, because the accounting officer of the department at some point was absent for 3 months, and without taking care of the entity, and the DDG was acting on that when we had difficulties in terms of effective oversight over the entity itself. So I am not sure if you will be able to get the desired outcomes if you put that responsibility on the DG of tourism on the service level agreement. And the appointment of the two people, King Harris and Mrs. Willy Banzi, borders on reputational risk and conflict of interest. One, Mrs. Willy Banzi is in the top 30 of the billionaires of the country and the list is out there. Now you want a billionaire, 30 of the billionaires of this country and the list is out there. And you have Tim Harris, who has been harassing the staff members of that entity since then to say, I'm the chairperson, I'm the chairperson, here I am, I have arrived, and this is what needs to happen. And the process for me would be that you take those people that you have appointed to the entity and introduce them to the entity for them to be able to work with whoever that is at the entity. Have you done that already? I think it's important that you also clarify. I thought in your presentation you also upgrade the portfolio committee on the moratorium that you've put in terms of the appointment of the executive, which borders on the AG's report and the findings, because once report which we got from the AG to say that the vacancies that are at SAT are a hindrance to the program and the effective implementation of the programs of SAT, and they cited all those. There's a number of vacancies at SAT. There's no CEO, there's no COO, company secretary, chief strategy officer, marketing officer, and all these, they are vacant. Now, if you put a moratorium on the appointment of these executives, which has unfolded already, and that they were undertaken already, and the process was that of the appointment of these executives, how is this institution going to function if there's that moratorium? I thought it was important for you also to give us that report on the moratorium, and when is that moratorium going to be lifted, because we know that the processes, you put them on hold and they were about to be concluded, and that alone is problematic for us, because seemingly you are moving back and forth, because upon doing oversight as a portfolio committee, we are also expected to guide the entity and the department, and also ensure that somehow we complement their responsibilities and the work that they do as both the entity and the department. So, I think other members were able to raise the other issues, like out of 54 million South Africans, how did you appoint the three? Why not 9? Why 3? Why not 13? Because the Act is giving you different options, because equally the Act cites and highlights the fact that there must be geographical spread, demographic, people living with disabilities as well, young people and so on, and there is no such a reflection in the three that you have appointed. It's all old people, for crying out loud. Thank you, Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Honourable Members, for the question. I think let's start with the interpretation of the legislation. And at the risk of being pretending to be a pseudo-lawyer, I will just read the Act. It's exactly for the interpretation of the Act that the State Attorney assisted us with senior counsel to help us. Let me deal with Section 1630 raised by Honourable Member Mtambo, the EFF. In the reading Section 38, it first says, the Minister may on good cause show dissolve the board by way of notice in the Gazette, and then appoint a new board in terms of Section 13. Now, that is the process that we started to appoint the new board by advertising in terms of Section 13. Then Section B says, so that is the Section 13 where you need to make sure that the 13 members of the board are representatives of demographics, race, gender, and all of that. We're not there. We've advertised to get to that process. But it also says in B, if the board is dissolved in terms of paragraph A, the minister may defer the reconstitution of the board, and in a note, and in the notice by which the minister has dissolved the board, or by any subsequent notice in the Gazette, appoint one or more persons on such conditions as the minister may deem necessary to manage the affairs of the board until the appointment of the new board. So there are two parallel processes here. The one we have advertised for the new board. The second one is the minister has exercised the powers in the Act to appoint one or more persons on such conditions as the minister may deem necessary. I explained to the portfolio committee that we were trying trying to also to avoid, and the act is making sure that there is not a gap while you are advertising and appointing the new board. So that is the legal advice that we got, how to proceed legally within a government gazette. If I can just at this point also inform the Honourable Chairperson that last week Wednesday we did write to the management of SAT to introduce the new board. The DG and myself felt it's not sufficient that we need to have a physical meeting with the management and the executive of the entity once the acting chairperson is back from the acting CEO is back from New York. The first point raised by Honourable Chairperson of not more than of more than 30 days. Two things, Honourable Chair, that we have to consider is the number of holidays that we have in April and May, but also the Act says, the Act says that you must advertise for at least 30 days. So we might be a bit more than the notice must specify a period of at least 30 days for nomination to be submitted to the board. We just wanted to make sure that, you know, even if we go a bit over, but at least that we have met the 30 days. Then to clarify the names with the different chairpersons, Ms. Ntambo, what happened, Honourable Members, was that in the first meeting with the three, and I think maybe we should not say interim board, because that might be confusion, like the Honourable Members say, it doesn't say interim in the Act, that's correct. That in the first meeting, the Minister Ntambo has said that he is not available because of commitment, and they then proposed in that meeting, they then proposed Mr. Tim Harris to be the chairperson. What we need to do and what DG has already started doing was that we now have to correct the first or the change from Mr. Ntambo to Mr. Tim Harris, and the DG has done that or is busy with that process. Then the review of the SLA, Honourable Members. What I found that, and the reason why I want to review the service level agreement, I have first asked SA Tourism to provide me with a copy of their operational plan for the current financial year. I've also asked them for a copy of their business plan for the current financial year, which they did not have, and I had to give them a week or more days to put together. The importance of the operational plan is so important for both the PC and the minister so that we can see what they have budgeted for to spend the money. What are the line items? Like when you look at the Tottenham Hotspurs deal and you look at the processes, there was no clear in an operational plan any clarity that this 1 billion is going to be spent over 3 years and it's in the budget. So it will be very interesting to also provide the portfolio committee with the operational plan and the business plan so that you can see what exactly do they intend doing with the funding that's being transferred from the Department of Transport to them? Tourism. I keep on saying transport. Because so definitely, if I can jump to another point raised by Honourable Mpushe, that yes, we've got a representative on the board. I found that this representative of the board accounted to no one. There is no record where there was a feedback to the department about what transpired in the court. Also, when anybody go and represent the department, you must have a mandate from the department. You can't go there and represent your jacket. So there is no record. So this is how we're going to improve the oversight when we get the new board, is to make sure the representative from the Department of Tourism, that is a non-executive member on that board, give us the agenda before he or she goes to the meeting. The DG and myself will discuss it, and we will say, look, in terms of the act and in terms of the roles and responsibility of SA Tourism, we will then discuss those matters. And we must make sure that any board that comes on, the act is very clear. They're only supposed to meet 4 times a year, not 37 times in 8 months or 6 months. So we will make sure that we keep to that arrangement of meeting 4 times a year. And in between the meetings of the board, we will also, in terms of the service level agreement, monitor the implementation of the agreed plans of SAT. Now, there are two ways of doing it. It is the duty of the Director General as the accounting officer to report in terms of I think it's section 48, 49 of the PMFA. But in building these things into the service level agreement, we will then put key deliverables for every quarter. So yes, there is a room for improvement. The other point raised by the chairperson on the moratorium of appointment. Just by looking at the procedures and the processes that were followed with this new appointment or proposed appointment, it became very clear procedurally there are things wrong. Let me take, for instance, the appointment of the CEO. The previous board, and this is what I could read up, the previous board started a process to appoint a CEO on a 5-year term. That board made a recommendation to the then minister for the appointment of that person. That never happened. Instead, when a new board came in, they decided to ignore the previous board recommendation and start a new process. And that process was only started in January of 2023, where they then advertised for a month and they wanted to now do the shortlisting and everything in the month of February. There's also an acting COO, there's an acting CFO, you're right, Chairperson, there are many acting positions. But first of all, I had to study the organogram of SAT, and to make sure that any post that's going to be filled or advertised is in terms of the actual approved organogram of what this entity must look like. What I found that, in the meantime, and there are a lot of unhappiness amongst the staff currently, is that people would just move from this position to that position without following due process. So now in terms of filling those positions, it is the duty, because it's in the management system, that must be the first task of the board to advertise. We've not done a review of this organogram. We have seen the extras in there that is not even part of the organogram. We will go back to the organogram that was approved by the Department of Public Service and Administration. And then the adverts will all go out at the same time, Chairperson. I will make sure that when we put up the adverts, because also as the executive authority, we also received an instruction from Cabinet that all vacant posts must be filled, that we need to stop these acting positions, somebody acting for more than a year. So what we have done, and ensure that the posts go out in terms of the organogram of the entity, we will certainly forward the members of the portfolio with the advertisements that must go out. Now also with the advertisements, you need to make sure that what you put in the advertisement, it is what is needed in that post. Sometimes you find advertisements being written to suit specific people. So I will ask you for a 2 weeks, Madam Chairperson, to give the Portfolio Committee an update on this. Over and above this, why I put a moratorium on the board member, is that South African tourism has got 11 international hubs all over the world. All over the world. And currently, some of those people's contracts have come to an end, or they are about to come to an end. Some people's contracts were not even going to be ended, but they were going to be ended in any case. So I had a meeting with all our hubs around the world, and I did advise them, please give me an opportunity just to evaluate the value add of these hubs across the world. I asked them to explain to me, your main responsibility there is to do destination marketing, to market South Africa as a destination. Now, when you look at destination marketing, you find that SAT is doing destination marketing, the Department of Tourism is doing destination marketing, Brand SA is doing destination marketing. In all our embassies across the world, they are doing destination marketing. And then you find the Tourism Business Council of South Africa doing destination marketing. And so everybody is doing destination marketing. So I said, look, and then I will answer the question of the Honourable Member about the amalgamation of SAT and Brand SA. I did go to that as quickly as I can. And there was publicly said that it was a cabinet decision. There's no cabinet decision to that effect. In fact, in August of 2022, cabinet sent that submission back and it was withdrawn. So there is no official position. I did, though, have a meeting with Minister Ntshavheni in the presidency, who was also looking after Brand SA and GCIS. And we agreed that we can't find any feasibility study. What value will this add when you bring these two entities together? When I looked at the role of both entities, to me is that they are both problematic. If you bring two problems together, you're going to create a bigger problem. So now Minister Ntshavheni has asked, and myself, we agree, that we're going to do the feasibility study. We're going to do the costing. We're going to see how this assists us with destination marketing. And then in the next 6 months, the two ministers must bring a report to cabinet. So that is where we are with that one. I'm just picking up as these things are linked. The honourable member, I've explained the name, the changes of Matambu in terms of what happened. In terms of the issue about provide information about Tim Harris and Westborough, the DG and myself, we agree that we need three skills. We need finance, we need governance, and we need tourism. Now, I'm not that familiar with the tourism industry, but we have consulted widely with the tourism sector. And our experience also was that some people were just saying, no, we won't touch that. You know, I've got my own reputation to protect, and therefore, in terms of judiciary duties. But finally, we had to also get his name out as soon as possible. Now, the series came in of all the ones that we could get to agree to serve on the interim board for a specific period of no more than 3 months. That's why we immediately advertised on the 23rd. So that was the process that we followed. We have consulted widely with the industry, and those were the names that we were able to come up with. We looked at not where people are coming from specifically, but we looked at the necessary three skills that we were looking for, which is finance, tourism expertise, and then also governance. That answers the question of Honorable Ismail too. That is what we have done. Honourable Ismail also raised a serious allegation from the letter of the acting CEO, which I received on the 16th of March. Now, honourable members, I thought that I can't go and investigate honourable chairperson sexual harassment allegations. That should really be investigated, and all the other issues should really be investigated by the board, because the CEO is accountable to the board. So for now, all of those allegations have not been tested. They remain allegations until they are tested. But as I was saying, that once I have written to the board on the 6th of April to respond to these things, including the letter from the acting CEO, the result of that was between the 7th and the 13th, 8 of the 11 board members left. Why did not consider the three board members that were left? Most of the board members by now, I think they have resigned also, because the board was also not functional. I hope I'm not ready to go to the next page. The communication to the board members. We are bound to communicate with the board members through the chairperson. The chairperson was the first one to resign. And then thereafter, the company secretary contacted us to find out whether the company secretary can send all of those letters to the respective board members, which we have agreed to do. In terms of the role of the DG, the OGC, yes, the DG has got a role in terms of the PMFA. The difference will be, it's going to be against a set criteria of what it is that we are going to measure. What our representative on the board, what are the reports that representative must bring? In terms of the spending, there's going to be a quarterly a report about what they have spent money on. This is find a big organization, if you just look at destination marketing, there, every year across the world, you will have at least 13 what they call trade fairs. The UK, the US, Spain, all over the world. There's one now started yesterday on the 1st of April called the 1st of May. The 1st of May, the Air Travel market. Then you look at the modus operandi of how people decide who to go there, and there's no question about what the budget is going to be. And so we're now putting procedures in place to make sure that there's an application for people to travel, that people don't appoint themselves to travel. This delegation currently, what the Department of Transport and Tourism did agree with, is that we are sending 6 SMMEs, small, medium enterprises. We're sending them to the travel market so that they can get exposure there. When we go to Durban and a week or two from now, we are sponsoring 120 SMMEs to expose their goods and their products there. So I said to SAT, now, considering that you've got 13 or 11 opportunities to go market, tell me, when we go there, what will be the outcome? What value will we get from this? Because we're making an investment. The trip that is just being approved is just over 700,000 rand for the SMME and for 5 people from SA Tourism and some support staff can just go. So that is just one example how we need to have an operational plan so that we plan, and any investment that we make in destination marketing, I would like to see a return. The current board will end with the full, with the appointment of the full board, yes, and then the full board gets appointed. The interim board, or the 3 people that we've appointed now, the act or the regulation doesn't give you exactly. So the composition of the board in terms of section 13 will then be followed, and it makes very clear what the minister must do and how we need to do it. And I want to give the members the assurance that we will follow the act to the letter. The letter from the CEO is not appropriate. Well, I don't have an opinion on that. It must be dealt with by the board if so necessary. And then, of course, Mr. De Freitas, the inquiry into SAT. No, certainly we are not having any specific fraud inquiry, but we're only looking at the systems that are in place so that we can make sure that the entity does function. So we are looking at the existing system, and then we will be looking at how can we amend the system or change the system. But now I have to separate myself as the minister, because my role and function in terms of the act is to appoint the new board. But the role and function of the board and their fiduciary duties is clearly spelled out in the act. So it is the board that's going to deal with the executive management issues, of course with oversight from the minister and the PC, but we need to be clear that I don't interfere too much in SAP. And then I've answered the question of the amalgamation of brand SA and SAP. DG, is there anything that I left out that you would like to answer? Did I leave out anything?
No.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson.
No, thank you very much, Minister, but I think I need to help you on the letter by the acting CEO. The letter by the acting CEO is appropriate and procedurally correct because it is the minister that appoints the board. So then, therefore, as and when there's problems, the CEO has the responsibility to report to the minister and the minister has to act. And if you do remember, Minister, it was also brought to our attention to say that letter was written to the previous minister. And she did not take note, never acted on it, and hence the letter was sent to you. There is nothing wrong with that letter, and the letter is not politicized, because sexual harassment is not politicizing. It's a fact that there's a particular occurrence which happened at the entity and correctly so was brought to the attention of the previous minister. So there is nothing inappropriate about the letter as written by the acting CEO by the to the minister as the head of the department and that particular entity. And
So do you want me to proceed with looking at all of those allegations contained in the letter from the CEO since it was addressed to you?
The allegations that are there were for the attention of the minister. So those allegations that are there, in actual fact, some of them you have already acted. One, you have dissolved the board. Two, when you wanted answers on certain issues, the chair of the board decided to resign at that time. And automatically some of the things that are raised in the letter of the acting CEO, they resolved itself, and also somehow there is little to be done. I think it would be incorrect, Minister, to say here the previous board decided to ignore their recommendations on the appointment of the CEO, which were there or they found them. On the 29th of November 2022, it was reported to this portfolio committee that the previous minister did not sign off the recommendations of that other board on the CEO. Hence, a new process had to kick start. It's here on record. It was the meeting of the portfolio committee on the 29th. She did not approve the recommendations of the then board. Hence, the process had to be started afresh in January, as you are saying. Now, my question would be, what would be the reasons for you to reverse a process which has no discrepancies, because the processes of the appointment of the executives at SAP, we were told that they are done by an external entity. And for us, that external entity that is busy with those appointments, for sure, it is going to be above a board, and also the process will pass the master. If it's not done by any, because that's what was reported to this portfolio committee, and it is on record, because the process itself, if the upgrade was done 30 days, which was in January, February, there was a shortlisting, and what I think we need to allow the process to unfold on the CEO, because if we are to reverse this process now, it will have a bad reflection on the incumbent and a bad reflection to all of us, and also derail the progress of the portfolio committee as guided by the Auditor General's submission to the portfolio committee and on the one-on-one with the chairperson of the portfolio committee. So I think that process must be concluded, Minister. We can't have a moratorium on a process that is already conclusive, because if the shortlist was done in February, then let the entity that is undertaking this process to conclude on it and then look into other vacancies. And also, Minister, you must also consider having received the presentation from honourable members here. You must consider the reasons and the shortcomings that are tabled by honourable members on the two people that you have appointed, both Mr. Tim Harris and Mr. Ndambo. You can't have those people. You must replace them, because the conflict of interest is there. It borders on reputational risk. Already, Tim Harris' traces are very clear to say that I have interest here, I have benefited in this entity. Already, I'm calling shots in this entity to say, here, I have arrived, I'm the chairperson of the entity, so head must fall. Having the honourable member Mudambo presented the empirical evidence to say there are emails to that effect that are traced back in January, where Tim Harris was demanding an approval of this deal and that deal, we can't have it. He must be replaced with immediate effect. And in the recycling of the board at SAT, because we hear that Mr. Ndambo was once a member of the board at SAT, what's the rationale behind the recycling and the appointment of a billionaire to the entity of SAT, where there are no other people who are qualified to run the entity? Because I think also, Minister, you would agree with us as the portfolio committee when we say that that entity requires, amongst others, stability and a suitable mix of skills, experiences, persons in sufficient numbers in order to properly function. It is therefore imperative that the process to appoint a new board, as you have tabled it, commences agency, and we appreciate that the advert you are saying is there, but you have not seen any advert, by the way. Perhaps it would be prudent that you tell us in which newspapers the advert can be found, and also when and where this advert is going to close. Perhaps if you give us the detail of the newspaper, we'll see for ourselves as to when is this advert is going to close. You can't be waiting for the organogram of the entity is there. Not unless you want to review the organogram of the entity, because that thing of the organogram can't hold the processes. And perhaps the issue of the organogram would have appeared to be an issue in the report of the AG, and in terms of the report of the AG, there is no such a hindrance in terms of the report. And what you also need to do, Minister, is to establish the National Tourism Information and Tourism System, which must be established by yourself as per the Act, and that has never been done since this department was found. National Tourism Information and System. It's not there. And in terms of the Act, it is the Minister that must establish that, and it has never been established. So I think, honourable members, I will give you a second bite so that we should straight to the department's presentation if there are questions. Can I not hand? Honourable April, Honourable De Freitas, Honourable Matumba, Honourable Ismail, Honourable Boucher, and the women. it will be the last person. And that's the last round.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I have heard the representations that was made and the responses from the Minister. One would, however, want to register a great and grave concern that Mr. Tim Harris and Mr. Ntambo, two gentlemen with only one woman that in the three that she had brought to us, I would have wanted to think that the Minister has always been and I've always thought of her to be an advocate for women's equality and would have wanted to see in the board something that, in her interim board, something to that effect. One is worried, Honorable the Chairperson, that I think this was just a pick and choose that if those people are not removed, then their term error specifically and Zweli Banzi Ntambo, then there must be others that we could add to stabilize in terms of the disbalance that the board is currently showing. I also want to just say that Honorable the Freitas, always when I look at the portfolio committee, I never see that I'm an opposition member. There's one portfolio committee. It's not an opposition and one. What we are one, and we have been working together very well as one. So let us not make that differentiation between I'm an opposition. We are speaking as one here, and I think we are in agreement that you are very hasteful in appointing these people. Understand, we are not happy about it. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Just a follow-up question. The Minister has answered my question, but just I'm not clear. The Minister has confirmed what information I got that the proposal to amalgamate Grand South Africa and South African Tourism was never got at cabinet level. But I'm not clear in what the Minister's answer is. Is she saying that there will be an eventual amalgamation? Because she was talking about a lot of duplication of other SOEs and other bodies that are doing similar things. So should you just clarify for that, is it going to be amalgamated? Is it going to be one place where all marketing will take place? It may be premature because this is early days for the Minister, so I'll understand if she responds accordingly. Thanks.
Thanks, Chair. I think we do agree in this one of this new board. But before that, let me just go to the section minister because my question is not answered. This act is there so that we can do oversight and there must be accountability. Now it's clear, very much clear. Section 16, subsection 3, paragraph B. It goes there to say appoint one or more persons, right? On such conditions as the minister may deem necessary. Now, there must be conditions when you appoint. That these are the conditions you are working on. Then it went further to say to manage the affairs of the board until the appointment of the new board. So they are managing the board on conditions that you put for them. So that's why we even avoid a place where they are going to manage this board for 3 years, because there are conditions there. There must be terms and conditions. Not that we are, as the department, we are doing something outside. That whatever you are doing outside, it must be in line with the conditions that you are appointing this board on. It's not something that I'm getting from someone. It's here. That's why I asked, on what conditions as the minister are you appointing them that you deem necessary? Now, you say you went all out to look for people, and then from there you come back with someone who quit in parliament and come and serve in your office, someone you appointed right in your office, someone who served under you. It can be. Then again, the second person is someone with a relationship with this person of working in West Coast. So you have two people who are linked to you directly. The other one is linked to you through Tim Harris. Then Tim Harris worked for you. So there is a, on top of that, we are having a problem here of Tottenham Hotspur. Now we are taking someone who was busy pushing the SAT to fund World Surfing League. Something that is exactly like what we are running away from. So Tim Harris has got a relationship with you. Tim Harris, it's a working relationship, Minister. Tim Harris is also involved. So it can't be that one minister take counsel on the Tim Harris and the West Coast thing. It's counsel. Another one minister, you know, the previous minister, the most one thing she was hiding on it was lawyers. Once you take that route, you are just going exactly where she was going, because everything it was lawyers. Next time we'll be sitting with you next to the lawyer. You said something. You said something about you are going to give them money on quarterly basis. Something which I think it will be unfair to them. Rather give them money than do oversight, because something that your DG will run away every time when we are asking. He will do anything to run away from the oversight. So no, they are independent, these people. So that oversight thing is something that must take place. But to give them money quarterly, I don't think they will be able to budget their things properly, Minister. So, but I think the other thing is last one. There's no use there. There's no youth, and you can't talk about tourism and not talk about youth, because when you talk tourism now, you talk fourth industrial revolution, and fourth industrial revolution, you talk to youth. So it can't be that you were talking tourism with someone with Mr. Jelivanzi, someone from mining who's doing business in mining. So those are the things we must look into, because I don't see any relationship between the guy and the tourism. I know him as a guy who's more involved in mining in a part of the French check.
Going to upset
IDX recruited. And Chairperson, I don't wish to propose that the even the experience we've had as the Bureau Committee on tourism with the previous board and the previous minister, Chairperson, the conditions that honourable members speak to, I don't wish that they be given limited power or allow the executive of the department to have the full power. I'm not sure, but I think the issue of them being given full powers, whereas the act has not been attended to in terms of its requisites for the board, until we have a full board. Yes, I think if you're not a person in terms of this thing of West, I fully concur with you in terms of the team habit. You know, when I looked at both Ms. Collins and team habit, they have been both operating in that field of West, and I fully agree that there is possible the unfortunately, in terms of the act and the disqualification of the board members, I've been looking for a clause that will assist you on the minister to ensure that you rid yourself of these people. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Minister,
thank you for all your feedback. I just wanted some clarity or some undertakings maybe from you. To say that you have highlighted that there are no operational plans and business plans, and obviously you're working on such. When will these actually be available to the committee so that we can actually have a look at them and do you know, efficient oversight as well? My second question is that, or rather, my statement is that I'm happy that you know there will be calls through the report going further so that at least we can have some sort of baseline to be able to do effective oversight. And my third question is with regard to these hubs that you were speaking about that you were evaluating, can we as the committee actually get a full report back on the, your know, evaluations of all these hubs, what they are doing and actually what essential service or asset are they right now? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair, and greetings to colleagues, honourable members, ladies and gentlemen, from the staff, from the department, and the Minister of Tourism, and Patricia Dilley. Chair, I would want to have my input around the issue of the three-member board. One of the members has vacillated on it to say, I hear Minister is saying she is going to, or the DG will be writing to correct the gazette of the chairperson, chairperson Ndambo versus chairperson Tim Harris. Already, I would want to say, ma'am, for us to avoid this to back and fro and also casting aspersion on both names of the chair, both chairs. The gazetted chair is Mr. Ndambo, and I would perhaps request that you look into this appointment of the two chairs, because one correspondent says Mr. Tim Harris, the other one says Mr. Ndambo. And then, Chair, I would want to bring to the committee the issue of appointing the CEO, because the CEO, eventually, even if the process is undertaken by the agency, should be the board that appoints the CEO. And in this case, if you have a three-member board that should be appointing the CEO, I think it will prejudice the candidate. I would make a proposal that, because
by the look of things, if the advert is ending in June, July the process begins, and then August we should be having a fully fledged SAT board to say perhaps that board should be the one that looks into the appointment of the CEO, notwithstanding the other serious concerns that all these acting positions within SAT have destabilized the institution. But perhaps if we allow the process not to be handled by three-member persons, so that it becomes a process that is beyond reproach. And then, Ma'am Patricia, we understand the Act allows you, even if you were to appoint one person as a board and look into the affairs, it's what the Act gives you those powers. It says one.